The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
So my next guest you will know from a whole range of things, whether it be This Morning, whether it be BBC, ITV, BT Sport, TNT. Also, back in the day, he was the Saturday night host on RTE. Craig Doyle, how are you?
I'm very well. Gosh, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? I really will work for anyone, won't I?
Well, it's not only a lot of stuff, it's quite an impressive export amount of stuff. Did you dally here at all, or did you head straight for the UK?
I went to college in the UK to study journalism at the end of my degree. And my intention was always to come home. But the college I went to, it's called the LCC now. It was called the LCP back in the day. And they take on 25 postgrads a year. And most of them were Oxbridge types. And then they took a couple of ruffians like myself and some chap from Liverpool. And the BBC used to come in and do like these news days. And if it worked out for you, they'd bring you up for work experience. And then you get freelance work and then you get offered a job. And that's basically what happened to me. So while I was over there just doing my 9 months postgrad, I ended up getting a staff job with the BBC. And that was it. There was no coming home really then.
You know, you got a staff job at the BBC?
I did. Yeah. I was very lucky. Yeah, I got a staff reporter's job. And I was allocated to BBC Suffolk in East Anglia. So I had to move to Ipswich, which I'd never really heard of before in my life, before moving there. But I had the greatest 3 years because, you know, radio is the most wonderful medium. And when you go in as a young person, you get to do everything, you know. In TV, you just don't. It's a slower movement. But in radio, you know, you just end up doing a bit of everything. And it was great. I absolutely loved it. So there was no coming home then at that stage.
And have you been effectively UK-based ever since?
Yes, more or less. Yeah, I think I'm going to say I'm 25 years there now, if not a bit more. I did try a little stint in Ireland for about a year with RTE. And it was grand. It was grand. But, you know, I think really for me, it felt better in the UK to work. The work suited me, I think, a bit better than it did here.
Well, I wonder, I'm curious as to whether or not you look at what has happened in the last year and think, dodged a bullet there.
It's interesting, you know, I'm a huge Ryan Tuberty fan and I've met him a few times in London. And we meet up for a coffee or a beer and he's in such good form. And there's a joy to him, a freedom to him at the moment in London. And he walks around with complete anonymity. And he loves the job. And I don't think I've seen him as happy in a long, long time. But it's just different as well. You know, I mean, the convenience of working in Ireland. I mean, Ireland's such a wonderful country to live in. It's such a beautiful place, you know, and to be able to go to pop down the road would be a lot easier than the 3.5 hour commute, particularly the way Aer Lingus are behaving at the moment. I mean, I'm on the Stena line tomorrow or on Monday, you know what I mean? Because I'm so fearful of the airlines at the moment. But, you know, I think when you start in one place, you just tend to kind of, it's hard to come back and work in another place. Do you know what I mean? And I started in the UK and it felt like work home to me. It always has been, really.
I'm interested in what you said about meeting up with Ryan. Is there an Irish broadcasting community in the UK? I mean, from this distance, you look and there's yourself, there's Laura Whitmore, there's Angela Scanlon, there's Dara Breen, there's Graham Norton, there's Ryan Tuberty. There is a fair selection of Irish people making their way in UK broadcasting. Do ye stay in touch or is it fearsome competition?
No, we meet up in secret. It's like a modern day kind of broadcasting hedge school, you know. We meet there. We meet in corners of the city. We don't all meet up, but we keep an eye out for each other.
I can't not ask you about the news this week in relation to Holly Willoughby. What was your reaction to that? Because to see the detail of the danger that she was in, it's horrifying.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that person, I won't even call him a human. He's not a human. He's just a disgusting individual. And I'm so glad that he's hopefully going to be heavily sentenced because he's a danger to society. It was an awful, awful thing for her and her family. And she is a gorgeous person, a really lovely human being. I was very lucky to work with her quite a lot over the last year. And in fact, I was working with her during that. And that's when she just stopped doing the show. And rightly so, for her own safety. And I remember going into work and they said, you know, Holly's not going to be with you, you know, this week. And I was shocked, but I was relieved that they caught this guy so quickly and that she was safe.
And did she talk to you about it at the time when she was going through it?
it was so, very, very quick. It just happened, you know. We were meant to be doing an awards due together on the Sunday night, and I think the chap was arrested on the end of the week, and that was it. She was she went off and just kind of went off with her family and stayed out of sight, and rightly so, and that was it. So I mean, I've spoken to her since, and I'm, you know, she's just very relieved that it's, she can move on now.
We will put that behind us.
What a strong person. I just say, like, she is incredibly strong, incredibly kind, incredibly strong, great family, great friends. She'll be okay.
Talk to me then about the level of variety, because you described getting the BBC staff gig at the outset. I think there are very few broadcasting careers that I can look at that have covered as many different types of gigs as yours, because you've done the Shiny Floor chat show, you've done the Mid-Morning Magazine, you've done a bucket of sport, including rugby and the European Champions Cup, you've done MotoGP and Isle of Man TT, you've done Tomorrow's World, you've done Holiday. It is pretty much every available avenue in broadcasting.
Yeah, I'm just an old tart for it, really, right? Back in the day, it was less about the show you worked on. It was more about getting into the machine, you know. So you get into radio, you'd work your way through reporter, producer, presenter, which is what I kind of did. And then the opportunities arise to get into TV. And then you're kind of, when you get into the BBC, you're just kind of in the BBC. You're less concerned about what the show actually is, you know. Back then, 20 years ago, you were a BBC presenter. Do you know what I mean? So they would just put you on whatever, be it Music Live, which I remember doing a few of, be it Tomorrow's World, the Holiday Program. It was, you would just kind of do those shows. And I think it's changed so much now that the presenters are more kind of, they have more expertise in the shows they're presenting, right? It has definitely changed. Music presenters present music shows, sports presenters present sports shows. So it's kind of changed a wee bit. But back in the day, you just did a bit of everything, really. You know what I mean? It was just different. And I was just very lucky. There was, the TV was so different back then. You think something like Tomorrow's World, I think, was the longest running TV show. It ran for like, it was 30 odd years. The Holiday Program, the same. The Holiday Program at its height was getting 6.5 million viewers a night. Can you imagine that? I mean, I think only live sport gets that now. It was crazy. It's so different now. It really is.
But that's the thing that I'm interested about is it's when you look at we talked about the cohort of Irish who are over in the UK. There's something about the Irish where we have a desire to sort of forget our own once they go overseas. So you have an audience of 6 million. Nobody in Ireland gets that audience. Nobody gets within a sniff. I mean, the Toy Show does a sixth of that by virtue of the scale. Yeah. To some extent, do you feel that you get forgotten by your home country once you cross the water to the UK? I mean, even Graham Norton, there's a sense that he's gone from us and we don't think about him.
I mean, I wish we were still getting 6 million for stuff. Sadly, that doesn't happen anymore. But like this morning, we'd still get big numbers. I feel now when I'm home, and I'm home all the time, that the support I get from people on the street and the supermarket and in coffee shops is absolutely brilliant. And they're lovely. They're really lovely. And they go, it's lovely to see an Irish person over there doing well. And do you see Ryan? How is he? You know, they see us as a little community over there. And I think people are kind of proud of their exports now. And I feel very supported by the public.
You mentioned them asking after Ryan. Do they always ask positively?
People love Ryan. Yeah, they really do. And they feel for him. They really feel for him.
You don't get any of the, because obviously there was a long lot of negative coverage in respect of him. You don't get people coming up and raising any of that with you?
Literally nothing. Now, honestly, nothing. People are like, how is he? Especially the grannies. How is he? Poor fella. Wasn't it awful? And I'm like, he's okay.
Now, you talked about the difference in radio and TV back then when there was, you sort of could do almost any gig that was flung at you. The one that I'm always intrigued by was how you got into the TT and the MotoGP coverage, because that is a tight community and it's a very niche and expert thing to cover. I mean, not only motorcycle racing, but motorcycle road racing. That's a very narrow band. And I'm assuming you didn't grow up in Dundrod or the Northwest or Rush.
No, I mean, my father owned a garage for a long time. The family did in Dundrum, Frankfurt Motors. So it was all cars, 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 cars. So I knew a lot about cars and I knew how to fix cars and I'd hang around with the mechanics when I was a kiddie, you know, in the workshops. But motorbikes were a no-no. And my dad taught me to drive when I was 13 to keep me away from going near scooters or motorbikes. He was terrified of them. He had no interest in them at all, you know. But it's funny, I was in the Beeb, and that was the job that came up, the British Superbike Championship. Craig, would you mind covering the British Superbike Championship? And I said, sure, quickly Googling the British Superbike Championship. You know, I went in there, and initially people were like, who is this guy? It was me on that travel show. What the hell? But you know something? I was just like, hi, lads. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Will you help me? And I hung around with them, and I learned and I learned and I learned and I learned, and I got to know them. And it's a lovely community. And when you become part of it, as you know, I know you love your motorbikes. When you go to these races, you know, people aren't staying in hotels and B&Bs. They're camping. They're camping there. So you go to the tents and you have a cup of tea with them, or a cup of coffee with them beside their broiler, and you chat for a few hours and you get to know them. And you learn so much. And so you learn about the bikes, but you also learn about the community. And when you respect that and you're able to talk about that, it all works out. But it was a complete surprise to me. I did 10 years of the TT. I go over to the island for 2 weeks every year.
Where do you actually base yourself? Are you UK? Or are you back and forth on the ferry every week? Or how does it work?
Over and back on the flights and ferry quite a lot, yeah. So at the moment, because it's a bit more relaxed during the summer, I'd go and get the ferry over and I'll drive over. So I've a boat hole in Bath in Somerset, which I absolutely love. And I'll pop over there now on Monday, drive over, easy drive from Rosslare, jump in the Stena, 3 hours, 2 hour drive to Bath, perfect. In the rugby season, you're just flying everywhere. You have to, because you're in and out and in and out. But work is the UK and home is in Wicklow. Yeah, so I just commute. That's what I do for my sins.
I believe as well you are doing Celebrity Master Chef, which means cooking for the great and the good in competition at the highest possible end.
Correct. The most terrifying experience of my life, but maybe one of the most rewarding. It was unbelievable. I haven't mentioned it to anyone in Ireland yet.
Can you tell us what you cooked?
Oh my goodness, I did a load of Irish stuff. So I made these croquettes with black pudding in them and apples, which were really, really delicious. But my opening dish was, I won't tell you what it was. When you go in, the first thing they do is they have these cloches. The first round, and you all line up, and you open it, lift up a cloche, and there's an ingredient there, and you have to cook something with that ingredient. And Greg and John go, there you go. And some have got apples, and some have got prawns. I got the glands of a lamb. I got sweetbreads.
Oh,
it's like, what the hell? Their lads are like, have you ever seen these before? I went, nope. Well, you better go cook with them. So that was round one. I knew I was in for a heck of a ride once I saw those in round one. But it was unbelievable fun. It was brilliant.
I imagine it's high pressure, though. I mean, I've done occasional bits and pieces of a much lower level than that, and you sort of think, yeah, it's reality TV, but it ends up being taken very seriously, even though it's reality TV.
Listen, it's real. You have 1.5 hours to cook 2 courses, go. And John and Greg are fantastic, John Trogue and Greg Wallace, but they're tough on you, you know. And then you'll have guests coming in who are kind of like people you really look up to, you know. Great. I had to cook for Grace Dent, the food critic, you know. It's incredibly intense. As I said, I cried 3 times.
Can you give us a hint on how you did?
Well, let's just say nobody got food poisoning and I stayed there quite a while.
Craig, thank you so much. That is Craig Doyle.
Not at all.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.